Now is the time, episode number 9. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Welcome again, friends, to another episode of Now is the Time, and in this episode, I want to talk about idols. It's probably a topic I should have started this podcast with back in episode 1 or 2. Now we're already at the 9th episode. And it's really something that is close to my heart because, well, this podcast, I say it's the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives to worship God right now. And of course, when we talk about worship, we can't talk about worship without talking about idols. And so today I want to tackle that subject, specifically about idols. And then next week I'm going to talk more specifically about worship and worship in the local church. But this week I want to cover the subject of idols. But before we get into that right now, let me just make a quick few announcements and get those out of the way. And first of all, just ask that you continue to pray for us. We have just over a month left before we get back to the States and scrambling to try and get all the ministries taken care of and things wrapped up here. Christina needs your prayers as she is working, trying to get the house ready and keep the kids on task with their schoolwork. We have 4 kids that are homeschooled right now. So we do need your prayers about that. Also, in regards to our schedule, we've got quite a few churches scheduled already for our time in the States where we'll be speaking. So check out our speaking schedule if you click on the schedule tab on our website. And I just had one date open up. I think it was January 5th, the first Sunday in January, that I had to change the schedule there for one church. So actually that date's open, but other than that, we're pretty much scheduled through the end of March or April, I think. So if you're thinking of having us come, take a look at that. I think we still have some open dates in May, June. July, I think, also is full, actually. So take a look at our schedule online. And then a third thing that I want to just remind you of or ask you to do if you can, and that is to just subscribe to our blog. You can easily follow us on our blog if you don't follow us already. Just put your name and your email on the little right-hand side there. There's a little place, and hit enter, and then you'll get a confirmation email. Just do that because that'll allow you to stay up to date on news for our family and ministry, as well as some of the writing that I do, and we love to stay connected with you on those things. And also, don't hesitate to leave a comment on any of the blog posts. It's a wonderful way that we can hear your voice, and you can be part of the conversation on our blog. So don't hesitate to do that. We like that interaction. All right, let's get into the subject for today, which is idols. Now, here's the problem, and I've been thinking about this for the last 5 or 6 days, last week, because I'm preparing a couple of sermons on this topic as well. Here's the problem. When we talk about idols, we have a problem that we think in terms of, you know, your traditional idols, and certainly those are a problem, not so much in Western world, but they were a problem for the Israelites, and they are a problem for many people, many millions of people in the world today. But we are a little bit limited because we think that, well, an idol is some sort of a statue or some sort of a handmade, some sort of a graven image or something like that, that people come and bow down before and bring gifts to. And we have that picture in our mind when we think of idols. Yet, I'm convinced that we all have idols in our life. And the difficulty for us is establishing what are those idols in our life. And especially, it can be difficult for us to look into our own life because, you know, let's be honest, we are often blind to the things, the sins in our life and our weak points in our life. And we're often blind to those things and we're often blind to our idols. So, really, the best way to identify idols in our life is first to define what worship is. First, we have to define what worship is. Now, why do I say that? Well, because the definition of idols is something that you worship. And I believe that man was created as a worshiping being. So whether he wants to or not, he is going to worship. He will worship something or someone or some sort of an idea. But there's really only two categories. Either he will worship the creator or he will worship the creation. And our tendency as fallen human beings is to worship the creation. And so, friends, let's go back to the Ten Commandments just for a moment. In the first two commandments, let me just read for you. I'm going to read from the ESV. The first two commandments, how they sound. Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 through 5. I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth below, or that is in the water below. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, responding to the transgressions of the fathers by dealing with children to the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. So, I find it interesting. Oftentimes when I think of the Ten Commandments, I think of the first commandment as a commandment of worshiping God. But I think God knew, and he knows better than us, that the barriers to worshiping God are idols in our lives. And really, if we get rid of all those idols, we will sort of, by default, be worshiping God, because we always have to worship something. So if we have no idols, then that means we're worshiping God. And like I said earlier, the key for us is to be able to correctly identify those idols in our life. Now, later on, of course, in Deuteronomy, as Moses rewrites basically the law, and for a second time he writes the Ten Commandments. There's only two times in Scripture that we have the whole list of the Ten Commandments. One is here in Exodus 20, and then in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And then Moses sums it up in chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6, where he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And of course, Jesus repeats that. And friends, I believe that in that very simple and short command to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind is really summing up, in a sense, what worship is. And it is very close, I guess you could say, in a sense, to the idea of love. Of course, I can love my wife and my children. That doesn't mean I worship them. But there is definitely a very close sense, maybe even a fine line sometimes, between love and worship. Now, so let's get back to a definition of worship. Now, there are a number of Hebrew words and Greek words in the Old Testament and the New Testament that commonly refer to worship. I'm not going to go into exactly what those words are and how they sound, but I want to kind of summarize their basic meaning, because both the main Hebrew word that's used about 100 times, I think, in the Old Testament, and the main Greek word that is used in reference to worship to God, to worship to Jesus Christ, in the New Testament, both of them have a connotation of a physical act. And specifically, the Hebrew word in the Old Testament has the idea of prostrating oneself to something or someone. So the idea of on the floor, face down, hands down, before a king or a ruler in honor, in reverence, in worship of that person. And the New Testament word also has sort of a physical meaning in it, which it means to literally bow down before or kiss the hand. And so it also has this idea of reverence, submission, coming before a person in humility. And I think that if we look at the context of how worship is used in Scripture, we come away with a meaning that is far greater than simply, again, when we think of idolatry or idols, we tend to go towards physical images and things like that, that limit our understanding of what idols are. And also, I think that when we talk about worship, we tend to go towards things like, you know, we have a worship service, we have worship songs, we have a worship team, and on Sunday mornings at whatever, 10 o'clock, we worship God. And we often, while we relate idols to some sort of a physical thing, I think that we often relate worship to some sort of experience or emotional state where we feel very close to God, where we feel some sort of emotional euphoria. But that also is very limiting. That is very limiting. While that might be a real part of worship at times, I think it is limiting. And if you just think about even the idea of being prostrate before someone, what does that mean? Because both the Old Testament and New Testament terms have the idea of bowing before someone, and especially in the Old Testament, being prostrate before someone. Well, you know, first of all, it is a position, it is a physical position that signifies honor and reverence. And I think that that has to be part, the first part really of our definition of worship, honor and reverence. Or maybe to put it in another way, value. We are ascribing some sort of value to whatever it is that we are prostrating ourselves before. We are saying, that is greater than I. That is more honored, more valuable, more powerful than I. And that is why I am humbling myself. I am here prostrate on the floor before whatever that is or whoever that is. And that would be, for me, the first part of the definition. It would be honor, giving honor and value to something in our life. And then the second part of the definition, I think, again, if we think about that physical position of being prostrate, there is a submission there. There is a willingness to submit to the rule, to the authority of to whom it is that we are bowing to. And so I'd say that is encompasses what I would say the second aspect of worship, the submission, the willingness to allow a certain authority to rule over us. And then the final aspect, I think, I don't know what the best way to put it is, probably simply just to say obedience. So if we take those three things, that would be honor, submission, obedience. And of course, that last aspect really flows out of the first two aspects. If we're honoring something, if we're submitting ourselves to someone, then we are going to be obedient to that person. And that's something that shows, that ought to show up in every aspect of our life. And I think that is seen very clearly in Deuteronomy chapter 6, when Moses, like I said, he gives the Ten Commandments, and then he tells the people that when they get into the land, don't forget God, to serve Him. And he talks about the different aspects of their life, and he talks about how God's word ought to be, it ought to be on their doorposts and on their forehead and on their hands, representing all the different aspects of their life, representing their home, their work, their mind. And then he tells them to serve the Lord. And that serving is often connected with worship. That if we worship God, then we serve God. If we worship God, we obey His commands. We live by His rule. It affects every aspect of our life. So, if we have that definition, again, those three things, honor, submission, obedience. Well, if that is what worship is, then we can take those three aspects and introspectively ask ourselves a question. What do I honor or value or respect? What do I willingly submit to or to whom? And what does my life show? You know, what aspects do I see coming out in my own life? Whose authority am I following? Whose rules am I obeying? And I think it's important that we seriously ask ourselves some of those questions. Now, I want to share with you a resource that I have found extremely helpful in this sense, and that's Timothy Keller. He has a couple of good sermons on YouTube. In fact, I'll put a link to one or two of his sermons here in the show notes for this episode. And also, he wrote a book a couple of years ago called Counterfeit Gods, which I have found extremely, extremely helpful in identifying the major gods in my own life and in the culture that I live in. And so I would highly recommend that you check that out. And I will put a link to the book Counterfeit Gods as well in the show notes for this episode. But we need to identify those gods in our life. And I think there's a couple of other things that we can do that would help us to identify those gods. Of course, we can ask ourselves those questions. What do I value? What do I honor? What do I submit to? And what am I obeying? To whom is my life showing that I am living in obedience to? We need to ask ourselves those questions, but I would say after you ask yourself those questions, the next thing that you probably should do is go to your spouse, or maybe go to your children, or if you're not married, maybe go to your parents or your roommate or a brother or a sister or whoever knows you really well, and simply ask them, what do you see in my life that might be a temptation for me to take the place of God? And actually, which reminds me, I think Timothy Keller, I can't remember the exact quote right now, but basically he says something that anything that might take the place of God in our life, that's where the God is. That's where the idol is. And I think he goes one step forward, further than that, and he says something that you know, when you close your eyes, when you relax at night, when you are free to think about whatever you want to think about, where is it that your mind naturally goes? And that's probably where your God is. And that's another way that we can help identify, like, where does your mind naturally go when you are free to think about what you want to think about? Where is it that your desires take you? Is it towards God, or is it towards something else? And before I end, let's talk just about some possibilities. Because, well, there are a lot of possibilities out there, but there are some major ones. And so even if someone is, let's say, a minister, full-time missionary, you know, we can be tripped up by false gods, by idols. Sometimes those idols are very deceptive because ministry can be an idol for someone in full-time ministry. For the young parent, children can be an idol. For the young woman, beauty, appearance can be a huge idol. For the young man, fitness sometimes can be, sports can be a huge idol. And I can go on and on. I mean, I think that even if you can take, for instance, an atheist, you know, an atheist is still a worshiper. He is just a person that has exchanged the worship of the one true God for the worship of science and knowledge. And for the teacher and professor, sometimes that can also be a temptation to be an idol. So friends, let's ask ourselves those questions. What is it that we honor, that we value, that we spend our money on, that we spend our time on? What is it that we are willing to submit to, that we are willing to sacrifice to, that we are willing to let authority into our lives? And what is it that really motivates our behavior and causes us to act the way we do? Those are the questions that we need to ask if we are going to find the idols in our life. And once we find those idols, what do we need to do? We need to destroy them. We need to destroy them. And how can we destroy them? We can destroy them with God's word. But that is a theme for a topic for our next episode. So stay tuned. Next time, I will be talking more about worship and specifically how we can destroy those idols in our lives to clear up the space and make room for the one and only God and true worship. Friends, thank you for listening. Make sure that you check out SukoFamily.org. And if you're not following us, get on board and follow our blog. And you can also catch this podcast on iTunes. So if you go over to iTunes, you can just search for Caleb Suko, or now's the time. And you can subscribe to it also on iTunes. All right, friends. Blessings.